Welcome to the dark and foreboding realm of cryptids, restless spirits, and other mysteries.
Whoa. What? Why you change it again?
I'm an evolving creature and must express himself at all times.
Creature is correct.
Ouch. Harshness. Well, okay, do you accept that we are the Within the Mist podcast?
Yeah.
Okay, do you accept that we are the guides through this shadowy world, Gary and Goldie Ann?
Yeah.
And are you ready to delve into the unknown depths of the paranormal?
Hell yeah.
Okay, well then there's our welcome and introduction.
Yay!
As far as announcements are concerned, I have three of them. And the first one being is The Cry of the Owl is out and available for purchase as a paperback, Kindle, or read for free on the Kindle Unlimited. So if you want, go to the Amazon site. I will post a link in our show notes. Please check it out. I think it's pretty good. It's gotten some great reviews, and I would like to hear from more readers.
We also have a new page on Facebook where you can come and we can talk about all the books and all the different adventures, or you can talk about your own stuff. It's called Author Gary Brand Jr., Facebook.com. Come play with us, have some fun, and let's meet each other.
Yeah, it would be kind of neat to hear your ideas of maybe some future projects, or I will be able to post where I am going to be making some public appearances, which ties into the other two things I wanted to just really briefly bring up. Is that we are going to be attending the Ocala Bigfoot Conference here in Florida in June. And I don't have the definite date, but I will also be doing a basically urban legends story time at a library here in Central Florida that I will give the dates and the full details to, also occurring in June. So they kind of want me to tell some of the local urban legends here in Florida for kids and kind of motivate them for the summer of reading and storytelling.
This should be interesting.
It definitely will. So I pulled together a couple of different stories that I think kids will get more of a kick out of.
Hopefully you don't scare them.
Why would I scare them?
Hopefully you don't scare them.
Anyways, today's episode is going to tell of love's betrayal, murder, and possibly even a sea serpent all surrounding one lake. We are storytellers of ghosts, cryptids, and other mysteries. We don't intend to scare our listeners on purpose.
See?
Well, maybe just a little. Listener discretion is always advised.
So is this like a siren?
If I tell you that now, then there's no point in me telling the story.
Okay.
There's a word you kind of need to know, Goldie Ann.
What?
Patience.
No, you knew this before you married me.
I know, but a storyteller brings you into the story and then weaves a world and weaves the characters and then lets you know that it's not a siren.
You know I don't. Oh, what?
But first, a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. So, Goldie Ann, are you ready for today's story?
Yes.
What's interesting is that this is actually two different stories of one location. If you like ghost stories, then you're going to like the one story. If you like cryptids, then you'll like the second story.
Interesting.
Then it'll be up to you to decide which is true and which is not, or maybe both. Regardless, nestled near the majestic Bighorn Mountains base lies Lake Desmet, a tranquil state park typically known for its peaceful atmosphere and lighthearted activities. The crystal clear lake is a natural wonder, teeming with aquatic life and depths of over 120 feet. The setting invites fishermen and boaters as this beloved destination is a haven for nature lovers and adventure seekers. The lake also has a very rich history, having been discovered by pioneers and travelers as early as the 1840s. However, the land has held significance for the Native American tribes for generations before that, many with their own legends of mystery and reverence, and a lingering cloud of tragedy.
Ooh.
Throughout the years, a deep sense of foreboding has crept into the minds of those who live near this serene blue lake. Whispers of dark secrets and hidden dangers. Rumors of strange creatures within its waters. So join us today as we swim within the mists of Wyoming to delve into the mysteries of De Smet Lake.
What?
I thought the Wyoming would get you.
What?
So I take it, if you ever heard of Bighorn Mountain?
Yeah.
And do you know where De Smet Lake is?
No.
Well, then you missed out. And I'm going to tell you how much you missed out.
Okay.
Chapter 1, Lost Love. The lake's origin is a legend that has been passed down through the generations. In the very ancient times, there was a monstrous inferno that raged deep within the earth, devouring every ounce of coal and causing the ground to tremble and then collapse into a colossal chasm. Raging waters from the mountains rushed in and filled the void with an icy stillness that lingers to this day. As if haunted by its own past, the lake remains eerily quiet, silently whispering of the destruction and fire that birthed it. As the indigenous people began to settle in the area, their sharp eyes took note of this lake. Its shimmering surface reflected the orange glow of the setting sun and seemed almost otherworldly against the backdrop of the towering trees and the rolling hills. Soon, there would be stories and legends circling around the lake, adding to its allure and making it a sacred place for the indigenous community. Whispers amongst the tribe spoke of magical powers, which were said to have the ability to both heal and create visions. Legends told that hallucinations would consume anyone who dared to drink from its waters during a full moon. Their minds would twist and lure them into a trance-like state. One such legend tells of a young man who fell prey to this enchantment, lost in a vision of a captivating figure who bewitched him with her otherworldly beauty.
That was me, I'm sorry.
I thought you didn't know this lake.
Yeah, it was Wyoming.
What, are all the lakes in Wyoming
haunted? All of Wyoming belongs to me.
You own a whole state.
Yeah.
Then why are we living just above the poverty line?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, what I know is that within the pages of her 1966 collection, Indian Legends from the Northern Rockies, amateur folklorist and oral historian Ella E. Clark recounted the haunting tale of a young Crow warrior known as Little Moon. The story goes, Little Moon, a brave and skilled warrior of the tribe, eagerly made secret arrangements with his beloved Stardust to meet at the edge of the shimmering lake. They planned to rendezvous under the cover of night when the rest of their people would be asleep and the stars illuminated their path. The anticipation of their clandestine meeting filled Little Moon's heart with excitement and longing. The Crow warrior arrived at the designated space long before the moon had even fully risen. He found a comfortable seat on a large boulder that overlooked the crystal clear lake, and he admired the reflection of the surrounding trees in its still waters. He waited patiently for Stardust and enjoyed the peacefulness of the night. As he sat on the shore, the young brave noticed an eerie bank of mist hovering just above the water. He couldn't take his eyes off the fog as it seemed to come alive, transforming into the delicate features of a beautiful maiden. Her ethereal form smiled at him, and her long hair danced in the wind, beckoning him closer. The mist swirled and shifted, taking on human-like qualities, and the Crow warrior couldn't help but feel drawn to its mysterious allure. His heart raced with curiosity and a hint of longing as he wondered what secrets this enchanted, ghost-like being held. Little Moon stood up, his eyes riveted on the beautiful woman that emerged from the lake water. The surface rippled and shimmered under the pale moonlight, giving the figure an otherworldly glow. As Little Moon gazed in wonder, he felt a gentle nudge at his side, pulling him back to reality. As he turned his head, Stardust's bare feet crunched on the sandy shore beside him. She tilted her head up at him with curious eyes.
Why are you after that other woman?
Well,
you're my man. That's what she was saying.
Well, according to the book, who is that? Is what she whispered, gesturing towards the water spirit in the lake. As Little Moon returned his gaze to the apparition, he clenched his fists and his jaw tightened with anger. The figure before them seemed to shimmer in the moonlight, as if made of magic. Stardust reached out to hug him in greeting, but he recoiled and pushed her away with a sharp jerk of his elbow. His eyes remained fixed on the mysterious being, trying to decipher her intentions and the purpose for her appearing before them. The warrior stood taller, his broad shoulders squared with determination. But beside him stood his soon-to-be wife, holding a bouquet of wildflowers. But the warrior's gaze kept drifting to the beautiful woman and ignored her. Then Water Spirit beckoned to him with her sparkling blue depths, and he turned and walked away from his betrothed, feeling almost as though an invisible force towards the Water Spirit was pulling him. The sound of rippling water filled his ears, and he quickened his pace, eager to unite with the being that had captured his heart and soul.
Wow!
As he made his way towards the water, his only thoughts were of the image of the woman he wanted above all others. But as he drew closer to her, the mirage dissipated, and the fog dissipated into nothingness, leaving only the serene and still waters around his legs. The air was cold and carried with it the faint scent of the flowers. He gazed out at the vast expanse of the blue lake before him. Little Moon couldn't help but feel a sense of loss wash over him. The woman may have disappeared, but there was an undeniable sense of longing and solitude in her place. He grieved for her disappearance. And so, the warrior left the shores and ignored his forgotten beloved, Stardust, who remained crying on the shore. Silent tears streamed down her face as she gazed out to the deep, murky waters that had caused her so much pain. The wind whipped at her hair and mirrored the turmoil within her heart. Filled with despair and unable to bear the weight of her lover's rejection, she took one step after another, until a final determined step towards Lake Dismit. The cold water enveloped her, its icy grip pulled her deeper into its depths. And as the ripples of water rolled over her head and swallowed her whole, the woman's grief was finally silenced in the depths of the lake.
Wow. He killed her.
He didn't even know she was alive at that point.
Exactly. He killed her.
Well, the first rays of the sun cast a warm golden glow over the surface of the lake the next morning, and it caused it to appear like liquid gold. The shocking discovery of a lifeless body floating face down in the water broke the tranquility of the morning. It was Stardust, the renowned princess of the tribe, who had met her untimely demise by drowning in the stillness of the night. Stardust's father, with revenge in his eye, ordered his men to tie the young Little Moon to the rugged boulder on the shore. The young warrior was bound tightly with rope, his hands and feet unable to move. The rocky, wet ground beneath him felt cold and unforgiving as he was forced to stare at the spot where his former beloved's lifeless body had been discovered. He remained there on the rocky shore with the wind whipping his hair and the sun beating down on his exposed skin. The lake stretched out before him, its choppy waters reflecting the threatening dark clouds coming towards him. As he scanned the trees surrounding him, he couldn't help but feel small and vulnerable, at the mercy of nature and any wild creatures that may be lurking nearby. Whispers still circulate to this day, and on quiet nights, mournful wails can be heard echoing across the lake.
Wow.
Now, the lake still remains a constant source of mystery, and unexplainable occurrences continue to fuel the belief that the woman's ghostly spirit lingers there still. Terrified tribesmen even refuse to venture near its shores, convinced that the water spirit's presence still haunted the depths, waiting to claim its next victim. And as soon as the settlers arrived, the local Native American tribes warned them of the danger. However, both would discover that the haunting tale of the dead lovers wasn't the only thing they should fear in the lake. There was an unexplainable presence lurking beneath the surface. So there you have your ghost story.
That's cool. That's more like a siren story. I mean, woman comes out of the lake and chants the man. That's a siren.
And it ended tragically.
It did. Bastard.
And now I can tell you the monster story.
Woo!
Chapter 2, Smeddy.
Smeddy? That sounds familiar.
You're from Wyoming. I would hope so.
Yeah.
So you'll tell me if you recognize any of these legends.
Okay.
There is a legend of a lake monster, affectionately known as Smeddy, that dates back to an unknown time, passed down through generations through the oral tradition of settlers and Native American tribes. It is said that long ago, people had their first encounter with this elusive creature, and the story has been told time and time again. Beneath the shade of a tall oak tree, a Native American woman carefully placed her baby in a hand-woven papoose. She then began to skillfully skin rabbits on the sandy beach beside the still waters of the lake. Unaware of the danger, the mother kept a watchful eye on her infant with every movement, ensuring safety and comfort. With a sharp movement, the woman's skinning knife would slice through the air as she fiercely worked on her catch. But suddenly, there was a deafening splash that echoed across the water, and as she whipped around just in time, she saw a monstrous creature's long neck break the surface with razor-sharp teeth glinting in the sunlight. The lake monster snatched her precious child and vanished under the murky depths in one swift movement.
Dive in, get your baby back.
Well, with a primal roar, the mother did lunge for her only weapon, but it was too late. She was left alone on the desolate shore, trembling with terror and clutching onto the tiny skinning knife.
That's horrible.
Well, the Native American tribes residing near the lake believed that a monstrous creature lurked in the depths and would always keep an eye on it whenever they were nearby. They had many other stories that told of unsuspecting individuals being snatched from the banks and pulled into the murky waters, disappearing into the bottomless tunnels said to line the lake shore. Remember, the lake was formed by burning coal, and as these pockets formed at the bottom, it is impossible to know just how many inner caves there might exist into the bottom of the lake. Words of caution spread through the community against venturing too close to the monstrous creature's domain. Even during the day, there would be a sense of foreboding that hung heavy over the tranquil surface of the water. Some would tempt the brave souls to test their luck against the unfathomable depths below. Others would be more patient. On the ranches in the early 1900s, the horses' restless behavior even caught the attention of weary farmers. One seasoned traveler who had just returned from a safari in Africa immediately recognized the fear in the horses' eyes. It was a familiar sight he had seen during his encounters with crocodiles at a muddy riverbank. Realization struck him like a bolt of lightning as he realized that they were not alone on this land. Something was watching them from under the waves. As settlers gazed out, they were struck by the sight of a massive serpent gliding through the waves. Its head was said to resemble that of a horse, with sharp teeth and piercing eyes that seemed to glow in the moonlight. Along its long, sinuous body was a bony ridge that protruded like jagged spikes, adding to its formidable appearance. The creature's sheer size was enough to strike fear into the hearts of those who saw it. Reportedly as wide as a tree and stretching an astonishing 40 feet in length. The legend of this lake monster spread quickly through the surrounding areas of the 1900s, and word of mouth carried the tale of its terrifying appearance. Now, many settlers were skeptical, dismissing it as just another tall tale or a figment of overactive imagination. But in 1925, a railroad land surveyor named Edward Gillette recorded the first official mention of the creature in writing. He had been mapping out potential routes for a new railway line when Gillette encountered a nearby ranch family who claimed to have caught a glimpse of a massive serpent-like creature swimming in the lake.
Wait, his name was Gillette?
Yes.
I wonder if that's what Gillette was named after.
Yeah, babe, because that's how it works, that one Gillette owns everything. Just like, you know, my name is Brand, I own everything that's a brand name.
Gillette is not very popular.
I'm not very popular either.
Oh, my God.
Wait, I mean, I'm popular. I'm way popular.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let me get back to the story. In his book, Locating the Iron Trail, Gillette describes the Barkey's family experience with Smetty. The book reads, quote, "They were all very much excited, stating that they wished I had arrived a half an hour earlier, as they had seen two sea serpents which had made a great commotion in the water and swam as fast as a horse could trot. Upon asking them to describe these animals as accurately as possible, Mrs. Barkey stated that they looked like a long telephone pole with lard buckets attached, referring no doubt to fins or flippers along their sides. These testimonies, coming from thoroughly reliable persons, familiar with country though long residents, and whose discredited the old sea serpent reports, make one come to the conclusion that probably there are some specimens of a supposed extinct species of water animal in this lake, similar to those recently reported from Patagonia. Personally, I have no reason to doubt these statements of these ranchers." Now, Gillette never actually saw the creature itself, and his book was met with skepticism and ridicule from his colleagues, who dismissed his sighting as nothing more than a hoax or a trick of the light. But the railroad worker Gillette stood by his story, insisting that they had seen something unlike anything encountered before. As news of the account did spread, more and more people came forward with their own sightings and stories. Soon it was as if everyone around the lake knew about Smetty. Some claimed to have seen the mysterious ripples in the water or heard strange noises coming from the bottoms of the lake. Others reported finding unusual bite marks on their livestock or missing persons who were last seen near the shores. Despite these reports, many, as is today, still remain unconvinced. After all, there has been no concrete evidence found to support these claims. No photographs or physical remains of the creatures even to this day. For those who have seen it with their own eyes, there is no doubt that there is something lurking beneath the surface. Descriptions of Smeti have been compared to various prehistoric aquatic creatures. They bear a striking resemblance to a type of plesiosaur called a Cryptoclitus, which lived during the ancient Jurassic period. Cryptoclitus is a long-necked reptile that lives in large bodies of water. Instead of legs, it has four flippers and a very large body. Its long neck makes up half of its total length, while it does have a long tail that helps it swim through the water with ease. This description also matches perfectly with the rancher's account of Smeti as being like a telephone pole with lard buckets attached. There have been skeletal remains from the Jurassic period, when much of North America was covered by an ancient sea, have been found in this part of the continent. As I'm sure you're aware, being from Wyoming, that a lot of dinosaur bones are found there.
Yeah.
And this part of the country was underwater where plesiosaur would exist at the time. This supports the idea that some species may have survived in isolated bodies of water, such as DeSmet Lake. But could there really be living plesiosaurs in the water? And if so, this Wyoming lake may be home to a creature very similar to Nessie of Scotland. And so there you go. You have a lake monster in Wyoming, babe.
That's weird. I mean, why are there two different, completely different accounts? It could be two different things.
It could be two different things. If you want to go with the more mystical interpretation, the water spirit came out of the fog, right?
Right.
It developed out of the mist. So if it was able to take the form of a beautiful woman, couldn't it also take the form of a water dinosaur?
True.
So if you want to go with that time thing. Okay. There's also the arguments that this might be because of the deep underwater caves and stuff. You could go with the portals, similar to what happens on Skinwalker Ranch, and that creatures and beings can come through the portals at the bottom of the lake caves and pop out with creatures resembling water spirits and creatures resembling plesiosaurs.
Right. Okay.
Those are very far out theories. Most of the time, this is just interpretations of how people see things that they can't explain. Before dinosaurs were really a thing, you know, way before the 1800s, before, you know, people started discovering dinosaur bones, the ideas of ghosts or water spirits was more common.
Right.
Once we started discovering that, hey, there used to be creatures that were 40 feet long and lived in water, then some of those unexplained sightings then started transforming into dinosaurs like Smeti. So it's kind of all based on what's popular at the time and what explains the unknown more to us at that time.
Right. Okay.
So yes, I've mentioned a couple of different sources. There have been books that do explain both the water spirit legends and the Smeti. In regards to the lake monster, 1925's Locating the Iron Trail by Edward Gillette is one of the most documented eyewitness accounts of the creature. It still has a couple of sightings that show up on Reddit or different websites, but it's not as common as other lake monsters have been. So in closing, any last thoughts, babe?
Yeah, I'm Googling something.
Uh-oh.
Edward Gillette.
You're not going to let this go.
Nope, and his name's Edward Gillette, right?
Yeah.
Yep. That's what the town Gillette was named after, Edward Gillette.
There you go.
Yep.
And where is this Gillette town?
Oh,
is it near Bighorn Mountain?
I really don't know Bighorn Mountain. But, yeah, I mean, Gillette was one of the places I would go with to my dad to do his work.
Oh.
He was an oil field inspector.
Right, your father.
Yes.
Well, Gillette was pretty big in the railroads because he helped coordinate the routes for how the railroad lines would go. So I guess that would explain why you would have a town named after him.
Yeah.
The lake
Cool.
itself is an enigma, and its depths hold secrets that no one can truly uncover. Its waters are a deep blue, a color that seems to shift and change with every passing moment. Some say the reflection is the sky, while others claim it mirrors the emotions of those who dare to dip their toes in its icy embrace. Despite the lack of tangible proof, the legend of Smetty lives on in the hearts and minds of people everywhere. They have heard the whispers of its existence, carried on the winds and sweeps off the lake. Others believe it to be just another tale from the Crow folklore, while others claim to have heard the sounds of the sad tale of lost love carried within these same winds. Before we end this episode, I want to remind you that we are active on social media and would be thrilled to hear your opinions about the Smet Lake. Have you taken a dip in its waters? Don't hesitate to share your stories and opinions with us. You can reach us on Facebook, Within the Mist Podcast, and we are also on Instagram and have an email, withinthemistpodcast@gmail.com, for any of you who would like to share. I really hope you enjoyed our story about the Smet Lake. Come back next week for more about cryptids, ghosts, and other mysteries. In the meantime, watch for the water spirits and lake monsters in the deep water and remain constantly curious. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, guys.